Welcome to the Ralph Moore Podcast. Gain the leadership advantage as Ralph pulls wisdom from his bag of over 50 years' experience in planting and leading multiplying churches. Our goal is to help you live as a leader you'd want to follow. You'll learn about making disciples and planting churches, but beyond that, you'll gain practical wisdom about subjects like how to manage your team, handling difficult people, pulling a congregation off a growth plateau, and even money management.
Welcome to part three of my interview with my friend Chesley Lunday. It's entitled Ministry in the Digital Age from Somebody Struggling in the Prevailing Model of Churches. Chesley went around the block before he discovered the things that he's going to share with us in this short segment. Hope you enjoy it.
Well, and I replanted our church in Omaha, and I was a really bad leader, Ralph. I just really was. I did everything you were supposed to do from the prevailing model church planting scene that was great at the time, right? So, I tell you, I went to Driscoll's church. And I remember one morning where I was just so beat down because I wasn't growing fast enough. And that's really why I was depressed. We weren't growing fast enough. Mm-hmm. Whoop-de-freaking-do, right? Like, I'm like, I know about sustainability in churches. I get it. A pastor in four states away who I hadn't talked to in a decade reached out to me on Facebook Messenger and said, God was telling me in my prayer time to tell you, don't give up. These are my people and I sent you here. Your only job is to love my people. And I'm like, quite honestly, Ralph, then I'm like, love his people. What the heck does he even mean? Love his people. I'm like, I don't get it. Like now I'm like, people are the mission. Like, I could care less about a big thing. Do I like stages? Do I like speaking? Yes, I do. But the reality is I've learned the difference between significance and success. Significance is the relationship I have in front of me. That's going to create far more eternal impact than the stupid things I say on the stage that every once in a while might be bright. And the bad secret, the dirty secret about speaking on a stage. And again, I love it. I'm very skilled at public speaking, but nobody remembers what you say. They only remember how they feel about what you said. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you can't tell me that is nearly as impactful as being with the relationship in front of me, whether it's digital, whether it's physical. And I can say this because my digital relationships are very real. We do show up. There are ways to serve, even though I'm not present. I am present in spirit. That's what Paul said. Read that. Paul says, I may not be with you, but I'm with you. My heart and spirit and soul is with you. God created everything. We are in him, through him, by him, for him. That theology tells me that digital is his idea, not ours, and that the spirit is alive in it. Like, that's the part of this argument that I have the biggest problem with. These theologians that say they understand scripture backwards and forward, we're in him, by him, for him, through him. Everything that we understand, everything that has ever been made, everything that will ever be made. And we don't understand that enough to go, well, digital and AI, evil. Listen, we can twist it, but it's God's.
The church has come to a point where it's probably thanking God for the internet.
Finally, right?
Finally, but 40 years ago, yeah, the internet was the enemy. I'm thanking God every day, every hour of every day for AI. AI has made my life so much easier, and it's drawn me closer to the Lord. You know, yeah. I'm reading my Bible in the morning, and instead of having to, if I got a question about something, I used to have commentaries on my shelves. I get threw them away when I moved from Hawaii. For a while I was using digital. If I had a question, I always had a thing where when I preach, I always just start with the Bible, and then I'll go into the Greek, Hebrew, whatever.
Yeah.
And if I'm really stuck, I'd look at a commentary. Well, but it's like for a little while, I'd go ask Wikipedia. Now I ask Grok, And I go really in depth in terms of give me this thing a direct translation from the Hebrew in using the grammar that the Hebrew would have used, the sentence structure, whatever. I can ask all kind of weird things because I have a little, you know, some weird thoughts about things as I'm reading the Bible, but questions come up and I'm going, you know, I thank God for inventing Levi's. I thank God for inventing cars. I thank God for, you know, giving me my wife, and I thank God for AI. And yet I hear people, I was with a group of people the other night that are just so fearful of AI, like it's going to, you know, kill us all and all that sort of thing. But then, and I want to turn the conversation a little bit because these same people are really fearful of social media, what they see as social media.
Yeah.
And if all you have is that you listen to the news and you hear about suicides and, you know, people who have used social media, influencers who have used it for evil, then you're going to get that thing. But we're seeing huge opportunities for the gospel through social media, through what we see in social media. I mean, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Give us some examples. Tell us stories, because I know you know some influencers, and you said earlier that the whole influencer model can be dangerous in the wrong hands. It can be dangerous with even a godly person who's ill informed. But
I did say a gun. It'd probably be better to say an axe. You know, and the reality is there's a lot of political stuff around a gun, but an axe, it's sharp and it's built to chop wood, and in the wrong hands, and it can be a problem. You know, that I would say social media is very interesting. You know, I've been, when I started studying digital and where the church was headed, there was nothing on it. We're talking 2015. There was this young kid that I started, well, I would say Mark Driscoll understood podcasting and putting his sermons online via video. That was YouTube. So that was pretty interesting. And that was very innovative at the time. When I was there, he was the most downloaded pastor in America, probably the world, you know. And social media was not what it is. We're talking 2015. Social media was only 7 years old, you know, 8 years old at that point. So, and it was just taking off because of the iPhone. And so what was interesting was the places that I found the answers was in the marketplace. So digital marketing, how to have a conversation with somebody, how to connect people with, you know, for them, it was sales and profit. But I saw all the mechanisms with how digital worked in the marketplace, and they had been there for 20 years figuring it out. And I'm like, oh, well, totally makes sense. And they had this saying that stuck with me. I think a guy named Grant Cardone, I think it was the first time I heard it. He says, the best known beats the best every single time. My problem with that is, why can't the best be the best known? And it's usually because the best refuse to sell out. And my problem with that is, like, if you have the best message in their world, it's not about you. It's about the people who should hear that message. Like, so it's not about fame. It's not about celebrity. It's about how many people need to hear something that breaks the chains and frees them. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're sitting there saying, isn't that what a fanatic is? Isn't that what you do for football, is sell out all the time? Like, what's the problem? So I just, you know, I have a soapbox on that stuff. I hear it. Yet at the same time, I'm looking at it and going, we figured out radio. Everybody loves C.S. Lewis. Where did C.S. Lewis get familiar with people? It was radio. He was a radio celebrity. You know, and now we look at it and go, wow, is he great? I guarantee you somebody looked at C.S. Lewis and said, he sold out.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, he did use the medium of his generation to reach the most people possible for Jesus, you know? And TV, same thing. Like, there's some people that aren't great, they're grifters, and there are some that are. Greg Laurie, his number one message, his only message is the gospel. Right. Simply. I mean, he pastors a church. Guess what? He is still preaching the gospel every stinking Sunday. He is the biggest evangelist. TV has helped Greg Laurie get to where he's been, because not because of him. It's not about him. Greg would tell you it's not about him. It's about people that haven't heard him yet, you know, hasn't heard the message. So now I look at what is our generation's TV and radio? It's social media. And young people are doing it. Bryce Crawford, Elijah Lamb, millions and millions. My friend Mark LeBron, who has 346,000 followers. Even me on a little snippet when I would do sermons online, 700 views each week. That was more than any of my denominational churches, and I wasn't even a pastor, you know? So having the conversation, I was like, I'll put the sermon out. It's going to be asynchronous, and I'm going to have a next step into a discipleship process. I'm doing more than most mega churches are doing at that point. You know, if we could get you into disciple making and discipleship, I've won. You know, I'm like, that's the whole goal. I would tell somebody that doesn't like marketing, that's what your Sunday morning service is. I mean, it is a platform with a pulpit. Now in the digital age, the platform and the pulpit has moved. You do not, and it's moved to exactly where it was in the first century. So I believe we are back to the rabbinical age, what I call the digital rabbinical age, which means you have to go into the marketplace of ideas and you have to shout your message in front of people. And some people will like it and some people won't. Some people will throw tomatoes at you and some people will listen, and you will gain disciples out of that. That's exactly what Paul did in Greece. That's exactly what the disciples did in the first century. That's where we're back. And that's what social media is today. The pulpit is not in the building anymore. That's for teaching, because by the time they get to the building in this day and age, 9 times out of 10, they're already convinced. What they need is inspiration and catalytic messaging to get them to their next spiritual step. And ready and refueled to go back out in the world. That's the way I see it anyways. And I think, you know, the way you, that's why I love what you did with the Hope Chapel movement, is that's what it was. It's a convention of churches, and we sent you out on mission. That is Ephesians 4. We do not do ministry. We equip you for ministry. That is what God has called us to do, you know? And so I am not a minister. I am an equipper. My job is probably less important than theirs. You know, I don't want people to go into full-time ministry. They're already in full-time ministry, you know? And I see digital as that. So you get these kids online that are beginning to share the gospel online. And yes, they are still growing and maturing in faith. Yes, they are human. Yes, they will mess up. Yes, some of them will fall into sin. Yeah. You know what's happened in the church world? Same thing.
You know what? We used to get busted by everybody that was denominational, because we were raising people up by making disciples in a local church and then training the real good disciple makers how to plant a church.
Yeah,
but they didn't go to seminary, and so that was held against them. And then some people always started to bring up the you know, what about adultery? What about falling into, you know, sin, drugs, alcohol, whatever? The if you look at the numbers across the board with the church, our number, I don't know that I could count 5 people out of all of the 80 some people that we sent out the door. I don't think there were 5 that ever had a broken marriage or any other problem like that.
Well, and when you actually funded a church plant, that church plant stayed around. after the funding dried up.
Yeah. Now we don't know of any of the churches that we started in Hawaii that have closed.
You know, I was thinking about this with my dad. You know, my dad had no training, no nothing, no help, like nothing. And he, his metric of success was, you know, 250 people, which he never got to. But that thing is 30 something years old and still going. It, like, with the amount of, you know, amount of resources that were used to build the church that he was planted, like, that's a win, you know? And so I, in digital that way now, like, what I see it is, it's the place where I see shepherds going into digital communities so that they can guide and stay with people. I see evangelists using social media to share the gospel, and they catch them, but they don't know what to do with them once they caught them. And I think you see a lot of apostolic leaders trying to figure out how to organize. And so that's, you know, getting back to this, these stages of community, I think that's the piece, is how do we build the processes and then agree so that if you're going to come into this community, I can know who's under our care. And so you got to get really, you got to get really intentional about the community design so that it can be asynchronous. It doesn't have to rely on you. You are not the center. That's the center. And that's really pieces that matter in the digital age. And that's not even a digital thing. Like, I'm talking about community design is the most important thing a prevailing model can do, church can do. And the reality is, here's the deal, Ralph. If somebody takes the time that it's in a prevailing model church, an attractional-based Sunday mega church, and will begin to build the community design piece with bridges, quality, qualifications, standards, the programs that move them from one stage of belonging into a center stage of belonging, you will end up doing what you did. And in the process, will end up glowing up, I think, outside of their building, because all of them still end up doing broadcasts online, if we're being honest. But all you did by doing community design was you now made your community accessible to somebody that could never get to the building. So they'll watch in Chicago and they'll be totally discipled by you because you gave them the time, you gave them the structure, you gave them the pathway. That's all they need. And then get out of the freaking way and let them run. Like, that's what God has called us to do. You're not called to shepherd tens of thousands of people. You know, in American culture, which is not an honor culture can do way more because you tell them what to do, they lower their head and they do what's been told. In America, you do that, even with my own child, it's like, there's rebellion already there. Like,
right.
We're Americans, they're not wired to do what they're told, you know? So we got seven. Americans do what they're told when relationship is invested in them over time. That's when they do what they're told. You know, and so that, I believe, is the most important. And with the structure and with their broadcasted service, but if you make it decentralized and asynchronous, anybody can do something with it. And especially if it's alongside some sort of relationship that agrees to the process that church does. That, my friends, is ministry in the digital age. That is not digital ministry. That is ministry in the digital age. That's what I care about. Decentralized ministry that anybody, anywhere, at any time, for any reason, can join and be developed and be sent out on mission. That is it.
That's good. I love it. Well, thank you for taking the time. I
absolutely
appreciate it. And I think we're going to have to do this again because this whole space is developing, and there are people. I'm going to get to interview Mark and Yvonne, a couple of your friends, in the coming weeks. I'm pretty excited about that because they are influencers, and we're, you know, I even as we're talking, I'm thinking a few things that I just want to talk to you privately about, because I think there's some Ephesians 4 thinking here that we need to imprint on how we're seeing this whole digital space. So this is good. So,
well, Ralph, for anybody that's actually in an attractional model church that's listening, I believe in it still. So I go to one. I actually think it's the floor. It's not the ceiling anymore. It is important to do it. That being said, I think there is a way to begin to start thinking about this. And I tell my churches, like, you can't do the 5-year plans. This is I really want to get to for them at the end. It's like, if you're thinking about this and you're like, well, we have this 5-year plan, like, it's not going to work. Technology is moving so fast right now. I just talked to another entrepreneur at a conference that we put on for business influencer that is making disciples, all over the world, by the way. There's so many countries here. You can see these plates behind me. This is not my kitchen. This is a hotel. It's pretty cool. And this is where we're having a conference. But she was telling me, we don't even have 1-year plans right now because AI is changing the game so quickly. Like, we are doubling our human knowledge every 16 to 18 months right now.
Right.
Meaning everything that could have ever been known is now doubling every 16 to 18 months. You cannot have, I think churches are slow enough. They can have a 1 to a 3-year plan. And that is it. That's it. I don't think you could go beyond. I don't think you could do a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. This is why I think relationships are so important, and community will never go out of style. So let's focus on building that and use tools that come along to help facilitate that easier and better without less friction. And that people might think it's digital ministry, but it's not. It's just ministry in the digital age.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's really wonderful. You know, one of the things that when we were in the seminar that we were in last March, the two old ladies that were there, the two thoughts that are in my mind. One is, whoever you are, when you start having kids, you start wanting something that looks more like a prevailing model church. You want something for your kids. And so the person who's feeling rattled by all this needs to understand people are going to come looking for you. However, we met these two old ladies. They were probably in their 60s. They both had gray hair. Right. And they had planted a church, and they had about 200 people, they said, attending their church, young people. Their target audience, if you would, were people who are in their 20s who found the Lord in a campus ministry and then went from church to church to church and gave up. And they said what was missing was the missional component, that they decided that they would plant as if they were planting a campus ministry, but not in a campus scenario. I think it comes down to form has to follow function. We've got to take a look at the tools that are here. We can build a form out of them, but that's all they are tools. The function is coming back to making disciples that make disciples and multiplying what we call churches that can multiply churches. It's pretty simple.
Absolutely. Well, you have the roadmap for us still all these years later. So
anyway, thanks again.
Not a problem. Thank you, Ralph.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and check his blog at ralphmoore.net.